Welcome back to the New Spirit Radio Show by Nova Spiritus. We are glad to be back on the air. This is Michael McClellan with my co-host, Tom Bigley. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Michael.
How are you
doing
tonight?
Are we ready for another? We're doing good. Are we ready for another fact-filled information evening?
Yes, I know. We're trying to get all the rest of the psychic healing in tonight, so you had mentioned that we may run a little bit over, which, of course, if people, you know, have to leave, they can always come back and listen to the archive shows. But we're going to go ahead and finish up psychic healing tonight and with the meditation. A lot of good information, of course. And welcome. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, those that tune in live, and everyone that does come and listen to the archives. We're glad that you are enjoying the New Spirit Radio Show by Nova Spiritus. And by the way, Nova Spiritus, we do have quite a few products right now because of some of the lectures were postponed. So we wanted to offer a special for everyone that listens to the New Spirit Radio Show. If you call the office, go online. Don't go on sylviabrown.com. Call the office, 408-379-7070. And when you hear the voicemail message, just press 0, 408-379-7070, and say that you heard the New Spirit Radio Show. We'll give you 10% off your complete product order. And you're also supporting Nova Spiritus, and we appreciate your support, of course.
Sound good, Tom? A couple other notes. Yeah, a couple
yeah,
other notes
ahead.
Along those lines is chat. Again, chat is free to sign up for if you're interested in being on the chat room. Thank you, Bob Ingold, for being the chat controller, chat master. Let's see. It is free to sign up. It does look like you have to be a host, but, you know, it's okay. There is a free session, free thing to sign up for. If you don't want to chat, you can always email your questions to New Spirit, that's one word, newspirit@novus.org. So you can, we're monitoring that email service, and you can send those in, whether it's the live show or archive show. We'd be glad to grab those and answer those as they come in. Call-ins, of course, when you call in, and if you just want to listen, just let it, you know, keep going, and you'll be put on to listen to the show. If you want to ask a question, just press 1, and it notifies us that you want to ask a question. I always press 1, so I'm always saying that I want to ask a question. And again, we still haven't heard or anybody trying to figure out who's Tom and who's Michael of the two pictures up there, who is who. So while you're thinking about that, do we want to get going, or did you have any other notes, Michael, you wanted to share?
Actually, I don't think I attached the pictures tonight. I think it's just the logo that is also the Nova Spiritus decal. So we can put it back up for next week. But no, I think we should jump right in.
Okay, very good. Let's get on with the next. Let's pick this one right here.
Chapter 7, Tips on Diet and Exercise. These are the words of Francine. Now I'd like to talk about endorphins, which are the body's fighters of pain. Scientists say that endorphins are chemical. Chapter 7, Tips on Diet and Exercise. These are the words of Francine. Now I'd like to talk about endorphins, which are the body's fighters of pain. Scientists say that endorphins are chemical substances called polypeptides, which are created by the brain and sent through the neurological system to relieve pain. If you experience a physical trauma, endorphins will kick in and ease the agony of broken bones, wounds, and the like. But you can also program them to come to your aid and relieve migraines, back pain, muscular aches, and so forth. You can talk to them just as you would your natural defense systems. For in actuality, they are part of your defense system. Strangely enough, endorphins can also emit when you're in love. That feeling you get is very euphoric. you can create something quite similar to that euphoria with exercise, provided you don't push yourself too hard. When you exercise, not only are endorphins released, but oxidation occurs within the body as well. This is a marvelous thing since it helps you rinse out all of your toxins, just as you flush out old plumbing. Exercise should be done in moderation, however. Scientists are now coming to a consensus that punishing workouts break down the body's immune system and collagen, and they weaken joint structures too. So for those of you who want to run 20 or 30 or more miles every week, I'd be very cognizant of these facts or take the precautions of eating massive amounts of protein. I recommend against daily rigorous exercise because people can become hooked on the endorphin response of the body. That's why we hear about exercise fanatics. Yet it's very important to get some physical activity. Years ago, when human beings tended their crops by hand, they'd bend and stoop and move constantly. You don't do that now, which is why you have to make a conscious effort to move your body. I'm not concerned with caloric reduction here. Flushing out your body and optimizing your health are what matters. People will say that they get exercise during the day by pulling weeds or walking up and down stairs. No, that's not enough. You need about 15 minutes of solid aerobic activity to bring your heart rate up, enough that it does you some good. Since the heart is a big pump that flushes the blood, 15 minutes of exercise 3 times a week will give your system tip-top detoxification. If you're looking to do some toning, I'd like to see you do yoga or martial arts. If you want to do weight training, unless you're trying to be a bodybuilder, you only need to use light weights and do rapid repetitions. And when you're working any muscle group, you must concentrate your mind on it or you won't get results. To be in the gym 3, 4, or 5 hours puts tremendous strain on the body and is certainly not healthy. To be sure, exercise does help you clear your mind. People who have anxiety attacks are very sedentary, so the best way to get rid of them is to move. The problem is those suffering with these debilitating episodes get so immobilized that they don't want to go out and do anything. Thus, they become trapped in a circle of pain, solitude, and fear. You can work on programming yourself to get past this so that you can enjoy optimal wellness. When you exercise, tell your hypothalamus gland, I'm going to take a brisk walk. When I do, I want the endorphins to kick in. Always address your body during exercise, particularly the parts of it that will respond. As I walk, I notice that my arms are swinging. My hip joints are becoming more limber. My shoulders are in cadence with my step, and I'm holding my head very erect. I'm also flushing all toxicity and negativity out of my body, and I feel wonderful. If you do so, you'll find that even if you only walk around the block, you get more benefit than someone who's sitting on a bike, grinding away for 30 minutes, sweating the whole time, and griping about the fact that it's so miserable to get into shape. The person who's leisurely walks, swinging her arms, and at least gets her heart rate up to a certain level to rinse out the toxicity gets better results. When you're exercising, you must eat at least as much as you were eating before you started. You might think, I'll exercise and eat less. That won't decrease body fat. Rather, your body will think that you're in a starvation mode and immediately set up a warning to hang on to your fat or cellular toxicity. Keep in mind that you need a certain amount of healthy fat, particularly around your organs. So when it comes to weight, if you could look inside the body of individuals who are overly heavy, you'll note large globules of fat surrounding their heart and organs, and it would make you sick. This yellow, goopy, clingy substance is quite disgusting. Once you saw a visual of that, you'd want to rinse it right out of your system. Have you ever had a garbage disposal that food just sat in? You walk in your kitchen and smell that stench. That's what's going on in your body. The fat is putrefying and isn't clearing out. You can program your body to evict those fat globules. However, as always, it will know what to do to bring you to optimal wellness. A proper balance between diet, exercise, and positive thinking brings the best health. The body is such a marvelous mechanism that with positive programming, it can maintain balance and optimal wellness for your entire life.
Talks. That helps. Sorry. I was, were you saying something? Because I was saying something and I was on mute. All right. Are we coming through or not? Okay, great. I'm sorry, I'm having to listen to our chat person here, and he's got a speaker, and apparently we died or something. But anyway, it was just reminding me that years ago, Francine, Sylvia's spirit guide, was telling us about how to, you know, flush the system. And yes, the exercise is really good. There was another recommendation or suggestion about niacinamide, and to that was to encourage that flush as well. And I remember for quite some time I was working on that, and I just, it's like one of those, oh, how often do you want to feel like you're one, embarrassed, because you get that same kind of rush. But it's just a fun note when it comes to working with different types of nutrition and exercises. And if you're just joining us, again, well, this is a New Spirit radio show. We're doing Psychic Healing Part 4. We're finishing up here. We're going to run a little bit long, but we wanted to make sure we got everything in for, you know, everybody's benefit. Probably like 10, hopefully not 15 minutes long, and we'll do what we can to squeeze it all in here. So, but then you can always listen to the archives afterwards. So we're going to get on to the next. We've got the next section here, part 10, and I'm going to push go.
Chapter 8, Conditioning for the Mind. This chapter is also from Francine. It's a very difficult process to condition your mind to get rid of obsessive, negative, and ill thoughts. But you need to understand that nothing can wear down your immune system faster than they can. You may say, but all the news I read or watch is so negative. How can I stop my thoughts from being influenced by it? Well, if you look at things a bit differently, you could take that news and make it positive, rather than concentrating on the bad in any given situation. Start thinking about what good might come out of it. Try to remember the attitude of a woman who lost an arm. Whenever someone asked her, "Isn't it a shame that you lost your arm?" she'd reply, "No, it's wonderful that I still have another one." Even natural disasters, be they earthquakes, hurricanes, or wildfires, bring some good along with the bad. People form new friendships, work together as a team, find strength in each other to go on and rebuild, and even learn to count their blessings more than they ever did before. Negative things are going to happen, but sometimes they actually serve to make people stronger. If you begin to think more optimistically, you will truly see amazing results in your life. Yet you can also affect the world in a positive manner by using prayer and petitions to Mother God, and most of all by helping and setting an example for others. The more upbeat you become in your thinking, the more your health will remain sound and you'll protect the world from negativity. Think in terms of the world being a body, just like your own. Program your body for better health, then you could help program the world to become more positive too. Just as our creators rule over all of creation, you are a god of your own body. You rule all its functions and cells, and each cell resonates to your godliness. All the cells in your body are subjected to your all-powerful mind, but you have to use your mind to control them and maintain good health. If you don't take care of your cells with clear and concise orders and attention, they can become mavericks. If you've got the will, you could overcome any illness or disease. I don't care what diagnosis you've been given, you can overcome it. First of all, act as if you are well. People will protest, but it hurts. Of course it hurts. Life hurts. What difference does it make if you're already in pain? Are you going to do more damage? No. The next thing to do is to speak to your body in very literal terms. I put this cold on notice. You have 2 days to evacuate, or white blood cells fight this infection, get rid of this disease, are a couple of examples of how to do this. You can also ask for your temperature to be raised to burn out infection. Modern medicine has recently come to the realization that having a high temperature isn't necessarily a bad thing. While you don't want to spike to 106 degrees or above, 2 or 103 isn't a dangerous level. You won't feel good, but God made it so the body's internal furnace can burn out the bad stuff. It makes no sense to keep lowering that furnace and then utilize an alien substance such as antibiotics. I'm not against them, but germs are so sophisticated these days they think and mutate to resist medication. Be very diligent in disciplining your mind against negative programming, for it will help your immune system. Negative thoughts won't necessarily kill you, but they do wear on the soul. When your soul becomes depressed, an entire chronological sequence of events happens. Your entire body takes a hit, and you're more apt to catch a cold, have disruptions in your intestinal tract, get headaches, and then all your glands become disrupted and begin to function improperly. Depression stems from dealing with what-if issues. What if I can't work? What if I don't stay married? What if my kids hate me? What if I can't pay my bills? What if I die? Every time you get a what-if in your mind, it's best to order it to stop. You can also go a bit further by asking yourself, so what if? Of course, if you listen to the messages you're continually receiving from your negative society, you'll become convinced that the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Become certain that you're going to suffer some horrible death at the hands of a viral infection, be brutally murdered, or face some other awful demise. Or, if you do manage to survive, you'll live out your days in a tragic, impoverished way, pushing a cart down the street while everybody throws spitballs at you or whatever you might imagine. However, most of what you've fretted about in your life has never come to pass. You get caught up in the little negativities of life and let them affect you too much. Why do you allow yourself to suffer so? Let's say that one of your what-if concerns comes to fruition and you're told that you have a terminal illness. You have two choices here. You could either negate this label and be happy for the time you have on earth, or you can sink into a black hole of depression and despair. Do I mean that you shouldn't have medical treatment? Of course not. But do keep in mind what Sylvia always says to the folks she sees who are terminally ill. Please look at this as an inconvenience that has disrupted your life for the time being. It's a doorbell that's rung while you're in the middle of a wonderful conversation or a movie. You're aggravated by it. No more, no less. It's a mosquito bite on the arm of God. That's all it is. Everything is transitory in this life and will pass in its own time. If you're more positive, your health will improve in proportion to how you genuinely think and act. Please don't ever just ignore your pain to the point that you don't get help. After all, pain is a transmitter of information, an indicator that something is wrong. I don't want you walking around with a broken neck saying, I'm defying this. You have to be very diligent about pain because its sole purpose is to warn you. Any serious injury usually requires medical attention, and it should be sought. Seeing a physician is also appropriate for any discomfort that either hasn't been diagnosed or can't be explained. I urge you to use your common sense because even the smallest of wounds or injuries can become very serious if not cared for properly. Once your pain has been thoroughly diagnosed by a doctor and you found the reason for it, you can begin to utilize your mind for relief and healing. Since your mind is the ruler of your body, in order to heal quickly and stop hurting, it needs to be a good ruler. If you don't use your mind to control the cells in your body, they'll govern themselves and depose you. So take charge of your own body with your mind. Be forceful. Don't be afraid to give your body orders in no uncertain terms. When you talk to your body for healing or pain relief, make sure that your words are as simplistic and strong as possible. So if you get a burn on your finger and develops a blister, tell it, "You're not going to get infected. I know I'm doing all the right things, so go away now. I don't need this, and I don't want it." If you're in command, it will heal very fast without infection of any kind. You might also avail yourself of other tools of communication with your body, such as meditation or self-hypnosis, for they are very powerful and especially effective for longer-term illnesses or diseases such as cancer or multiple sclerosis. Once your illness has been diagnosed by a physician, realize that knowledge is power. You now know how to program your cells and defense systems to attack what ails you, be it chronic or otherwise. We know that cures can be affected by hypnosis, so why couldn't you hypnotize yourself out of feeling bad? I'll tell you why. You're conditioned to have PMS every 28 days, or you're conditioned to have a cold every spring. You hear people say, "I get sick every Christmas," or, "This is my bad time of the year. My allergies are going to flare up now." That's programming. Your body will respond to how you think, act, and verbalize. So what makes you think that it won't follow your directives if they're negative? You need to maintain mind discipline by nullifying the negative and accentuating the positive in life. You'll certainly be healthier and happier for it. Self-hypnosis is easy and doesn't take that long to do, but it can be extremely effective because you're speaking directly to your subconscious. I recommend that you make a recording of your own affirmations and positive programming to address your cell structure because nobody can do it exactly like you can. You can also use self-hypnosis to increase your brain power to become more focused at work or to get a better job. The mind is the ruler, and you're creating it to be more powerful. You create miracles because of the positive spiritual energy that you're sending out. Like I've always told Sylvia, you have no idea of the power of every human being to create. You are all the offspring of the divine.
And it's interesting. It was making me think about, you know, we've mentioned several times and heard several times about monitor your thoughts. You know, monitor what you're thinking. Is it a positive or, you know, a positive state, positive statements, ideas, or is it negative? And if you're not sure, if you haven't paid attention, you know, write it in a journal, you know, record it, record your thoughts, and then maybe go back and say, oh, was this positive or negative? The other is she was just talking about how to use your own voice to do, you know, self-hypnosis, or you can even take some out of Sylvia's book. She's written actual meditations. You can read those and record those and play those back. That is a more powerful method for you to listen to. And it's funny because, you know, most people think, I don't want to listen to my own voice. It's just a humorous thing on my end, my thinking that, you know, how objective we are to our own voice, yet here we're finding and hearing that, you know, use your own voice. It's a better tool.
Even though we really like Sylvia's voice, that's why we like to get the audio tapes with her narrating on it. Even if she is talking from Francine. So, well, good. A lot of good stuff. Keep it rolling.
I will keep it rolling. Okay. We are going to do what we call part 11.
Chapter 9. How important are genetics? These words are from Raheem. Genetic engineering is going to become more and more prominent in the curing of disease and illness. eventually it's going to solve the riddles of cancer, AIDS, MS, and Lou Gehrig's disease. Now, if genetic study stays in this realm, that's great. But if it goes further, it could lead to a type of Atlantean science that's too technical and not oriented toward humanity. You see, things got to the point in ancient Atlantis where they were creating literal monsters by mixing together the DNA of different living species. Similarly, the Nazis played around with genetics using the Jews as experimental fodder and doing terrible things to them. It's the most amazing thing. Human beings can't stop at doing something good. Their greed carries them all the way to the edge of bad. In fact, the devil isn't someone who rules a supposed hell. It's greed. Geneticists are going to start having great success by introducing healthy immune genes into infected bodies. And those healthy genes are going to reverse entire genetic patterns to affect cures. Thanks to this genetic cell manipulation, you'll ultimately have cures for cancer and AIDS. The only problem is that they're going to be solely available to the rich, which is very sad, but they'll be the only ones who will be able to afford such cures. There's also the very real possibility that geneticists will get crazy and start doing things like cloning, which could raise questions of morality. This can then lead to further experiments that border on those that were done by the Atlanteans and the Nazis. The science of genetics cannot be allowed to go in this direction. In the upcoming years, there will be few things that can't be cured with genetic implants, from diabetes to MS, cancer, and fibromyalgia. However, these implants will be able to stave off viral infections, which are more likely to bring down humankind. People start taking care of the environment and stop cutting down forests. You'll see mutant variations of old illnesses such as tuberculosis and bubonic plague appear, and they will wreak havoc. Geneticists will try valiantly to keep you protected from these viral diseases, but Mother Nature will still unleash her fury and make it very difficult. Nevertheless, humans have always lived through these types of things, be they outbreaks of typhus, cholera, or diphtheria. Even in the Middle Ages, when so much of the population was wiped out because of the Black Death, there were still some who rose up with immunity and humanity survived. Whatever the medical community won't be able to do, you will. For example, your mind can rejuvenate your entire genetic makeup through cell memory. You can do anything with the human body. How many times have you heard the old joke? The operation was a success, but the patient died. There may have been no reason for this individual to die, but that's where past life recall, morphic resonance, and cell memory come in. They can give you a baboon heart and pig valves or perform every type of medical procedure on you, but if your mind says that's it, your will breaks and you're gone. Here's what Francine has to say on this topic. Just like Raheem, I'm very, very interested in talking to you about some genetic research that we're beginning to see on our side. Although the science of altering cells by injection and other methods is in the infant stages, it will be of great benefit to humankind if it isn't abused. Very soon you're going to see some miraculous cures from genetic research. Cell memory and morphic resonance will also be utilized in the future, especially in psychology. But this field is not in a hurry to change its reliance on its demigods such as Freud and Jung. Psychology is also not exploring reincarnation. Hence, progress will be slow except for the occasional maverick who uses the tools of psychic healing in her treatment and enacts cures. It turns out what you deem to be primitive on your side is often actually much more advanced than you realize. Native American culture, for example, is quite extensive and sophisticated. Members of the different tribes also routinely live to be very elderly. On my side, we're convinced that's because they weren't subjected to a lot of negative programming. Although the words primitive culture seems to indicate that these people were stupid, they most certainly were not. the fact that Native Americans lived outdoors with nature and were very basic in their survival techniques probably made them smarter. And because their society wasn't complicated, it made them live longer. As a matter of fact, we found that many so-called primitive cultures had longer lifespans than the European cultures that were supposedly so civilized. Isn't it amazing that the tribes that lived communally with nature, such as the Inuits, the Mongolians, the Tibetans, Africans, Pacific Islanders, and the like, tend to live longer than Europeans and their early American counterparts? Today, the cultures of Western civilizations are incredibly complex. Whenever you have a condensation of houses, work abilities, and people striving for what they want rather than what they need, you start getting much more into the stress factor. It's what you call in your slang, keeping up with the Joneses. The delineation of culture influence is important because, like genetics, it plays a role in your healing. Thus, when you address your body, it can help to say, culture I came from that might have caused stress, I release all negative morphic resonance. When you're negating cell memory and morphic resonance, begin by nullifying the disease or illness that you died of throughout your existence. To do so, go to one of your stress-free past lives and bring up the memory of the cell structure that was healthy and allowed you to live to a ripe old age. This will also help you to alleviate the strain on your cells now and insulate you from taking on a lot of negativity. If you can gain knowledge about cell memory and morphic resonance in hypnosis regression, utilizing that information can help you heal. Whether you're too thin or too heavy, or you have bad knees, a bad heart, a bad neck, or any number of other problems, these just may be clues to these conditions in your past incarnations. Cell memory and morphic resonance can leak over like an ink blot in your personal life as well. If you had an existence in which you were impoverished, for instance, the fear of starving to death can lead to eating everything you get your hands on in this incarnation. On the other hand, if you once had too much money and power, it can now lead to egotism and feelings of superiority, believing that others are beneath you, which affects body structure, mental ability, spirituality, and your social abilities. Now let's say that you were a nun, a spinster, a priest, or a very lonely sea captain in a past life. It may have affected you in this life, in that you're unable to interact with people. You're so tongue-tied and shy that you're trapped in a solitary existence. Or suppose you had an unrequited love affair in a past incarnation. Well, take that experience into two or three lives, and the morphic resonance of it can result in a feeling of paranoia, hatefulness, diminished self-esteem, and being too submissive. All of those things can come into play in your current life. Not only can cell memory and morphic resonance make you feel suspicious and frightened of other people, but they can also be behind your pattern of continually picking the same types of losers who use you, take from you, and manipulate you. If you've been used to being celibate or unlucky in love in your past lives, you may either put up with mistreatment or completely misread the feelings of someone who's just being nice to you, but doesn't want a romance. Everything is to be overcome in life, but the main thing you have to overcome is yourself, whether it's fetal alcohol syndrome, genetic predisposition to heart trouble, bad knees, glandular disease, or what have you. You can absolutely readjust it. Your chart will govern the amount of readjustment you can make. You may be able to completely rid yourself of any genetic defect if your chart allows it, or you may only be able to improve your condition to a certain degree. In either case, improvement is improvement, so you should try to do it. Genetics matter because you're in a physiological body made up of biochemistry. We can't leave out your heredity. It's vitally important that you address the fact that you've been genetically presupposed for certain dispositions, colorings, body structure, and state of health. Of course you choose to come into this body and take on its challenges, but that certainly doesn't mean that you're prevented from manipulating your heredity. If your mother, your grandmother, or some other female relative had breast cancer and doctors told you that you have an increased risk because of it, you can change that. Your doctors are certainly giving you negative programming here. They feel that they're warning you so that you'll take as many precautions as possible. They're right in a common sense way. But do be sure to use that negative information to your advantage. Get regular checkups and mammograms. But at the same time, go the opposite way and persuade your cell memory not to get into that kind of trauma. Neither believe a statement that begins, "You are doomed for," rather use it as a challenge to overcome your genetic predisposition. You can become so locked into the programming that it does great damage to your soul. Stop blaming your genes. Stop surrounding yourself with so much negativity. And use that positive programming to heal and stay as well as possible. Watch your language when you refer to yourself in a negative way. "I know I'm going to get arthritis because my family is arthritic," or any of those other familial concerns. The biochemistry can be changed even if science hasn't shared that fact. If it weren't so, then no one would ever go into remission. Think about this. A mother who's had breast cancer has three daughters, and two of them get the disease, but one doesn't. What's going on with the one daughter who stays well? Despite her predisposition for breast cancer, this woman has gotten everything off her chest. That is, her two sisters took everything from their mother, packed it into themselves, and developed the cancer because they couldn't fight the negative programming and get it off their own chest. The disease-free daughter refused to accept what was written in her genes so that she was able to stay healthy.
So, Michael, did you have anything to add for that?
No, that's wonderful information.
I was just thinking of what we've been reminded of over and over is that 11% of who we are, what we are, is genetics, which, yeah, gives us that, where that source can come from. And yet the 89% is programming from both past lives as well as this lifetime keeps us, in a certain mode of operation. And that's the kind of thing, that's the thing that we can change. Is that programming. Find out what it is that, we keep repeating in our heads.
Yeah, and keep that positive programming and positive attitude, and sometimes, acting as if, fake it till you make it, and being happy, being positive, and being healthy.
Right, I agree. Ready for the next?
Yeah, let's rock it.
Okay, here we go.
Chapter 10, Overcoming Morphic Resonance. This is from, again, Francine. We have a spiritual DNA that far surpasses anything having to do with physiological DNA. Your spiritual DNA contains everything from your entire experience within it, and there's the rub. Many times you'll carry that morphic resonance with you, that is, the memory of all that's happened to you, whether it was done on a physical, emotional, or spiritual level. Living so many lives can cause you to absorb all of these very thick remnants of past horrors that Sylvia calls behavioral overlays. When you incarnate, your mind begins to set up a view that what has happened before could happen again. On a lower level of consciousness, you try to recreate what's happened to you in the past, which is why many of you will experience different afflictions in your life. So if you only address your body, you're not going to get to the root of these afflictions. You must work with your soul. It's much like a glass of milk. Once you drink it, the coating on the glass stays. The milk is no longer there, but the coating is. That's what is happening with your life's plan. Let's say that in one of your incarnations, you died of tuberculosis at the age of 22. When you reach the age of 22 in this life, your morphic resonance reminds you that you are presupposed to this disease. So all of a sudden, you begin to have asthmatic conditions and bronchial episodes. You may worry that your body is turning against you, but it isn't. However, since every one of your cells is a thinking entity unto itself, it has a mind of its own until the central station, which is the brain, takes control of them. The cells remember if you've starved to death in a past life, for instance, so they keep you very heavy in this one in an attempt to protect you. And this ink blot effect spreads out to your relationships, too. If you were tortured in the past, it could explain why you feel as if you're being tortured in the present. It's important that you focus on clearing those old cobwebs out of your mind, and you can begin doing so by saying, whatever patterns I'm carrying over, be they in the area of health, wealth, relationships, career, or spirituality, must be stabilized and rinsed clean. Your cells' morphic resonance sets up patterns for eons of time. Such patterns come back when you incarnate. It would be kin to your getting sick every time you eat a particular restaurant or feeling uneasy any time you walk into a certain room. When you notice that you have the same strong physical reaction to a particular situation, ask yourself, why? Why do I feel uncomfortable driving in traffic? Why do I hyperventilate when I'm in a high place? Or why do I have so many irrational fears concerning my children's safety? Now, although you may get some intuitive insight while conscious, you're more likely to find the root of your problem in a meditative or hypnotic state. Your subconscious mind knows the reason for your distress, and you only have to contact it to get the answer. For example, if you become anxious when you're in a crowd and you don't know why, ask yourself, was I caught in a mob in a past life? Was I trapped in an enclosed place with many people, such as in a cave or jail? Was I manhandled, injured, or killed in a riot or stampede? You may even get a vision that explains where your fear or phobia comes from. If any anxiety surfaces with it, simply state, I only want to observe this. I do not want to relive it. The doctors of today aren't aware of what you might be carrying in your cell memory. For example, some of the people who have fibromyalgia suffered from terrible rickets in a past life, a condition that alters the body's growth structure as well as its soft tissue. Likewise, those who once had tuberculosis could come into this life and get chronic fatigue. Folks who were once affected by some sort of plague can have any number of disruptive illnesses for which there are no current medical names. So many of you are walking around in this world half alive but completely tired and despondent. You really don't know what it's like to enjoy ultimate happiness and health, yet it's so simple for you to have both. You can give your body this blanket command to encourage ultimate wellness. No matter what life I'm carrying over these phobias, these feelings of inadequacies, and these undiagnosed or diagnosed illnesses from, let the cell memory be dissipated by the white light of the Holy Spirit that surrounds me. I've learned from it. If you have a particular problem, try to be specific as you can when you're addressing your body. So if you're struggling with addiction, say, if I had a dependency in any past life, whether it was to drugs or alcohol or any other substance, I want to release that morphic resonance and cell memory that's causing my addiction in this life. It does not apply and is not relevant. Or if you have a weight problem, state, if I had a life in which I starved to death or was constantly hungry, I release the morphic resonance and cell memory that's causing me to overeat in this life. It does not apply and is not relevant. Rinse your cells clean of whatever is causing you problems, since it doesn't need to be there anymore. When you're thinking of the morphic resonance of your cells, I want you to ask yourself the following every morning for at least a week. At what age did I feel the best in this life? Was I 10, was I 16, or was I 30? When did you feel the most free and on top of things, surrounded by positive energy? Bring that memory up to the present day and demand that your cells convert themselves to that happiest of times and retain the knowledge for everyday operation. I guarantee that when you do this, people will begin to tell you that you look so much younger, so much more vibrant. No matter how many lotions you use or how much exercise you get, it can't compare to what bringing up the best of your cell memory can do for you. I want to stress that if you pick the cell memory of being 10 years old, that doesn't mean you're now going to start jumping rope or whatever you did at that age, but you're going to bring the knowledge of that cell memory forward to work for you and your body.
A lot of information. It's like, okay, you got a comment, you got a... It reminds me of, it's easy to sometimes identify a morphic resonance of when you're, too much weight, that you think you're overeating and you weigh more than you think you should, that's easier to identify with a negative association. Maybe you starved in a past life, and so, as she was saying, that your body says, wait a minute, I got to hang on to all this stuff. And it reminds me of a story of someone that has a morphic resonance. Well, in this life, they were actually heavy and couldn't understand why they couldn't lose the weight, why they wouldn't, continually lose weight and keep it off. Well, it turned out through a regression, it was quite a different reason. It wasn't a negative effect. It was more of a positive thing that was a reinforcement. And this turned out that this person in a past life was a princess, I believe, and it was part of the society to keep the royalty keep them overweight. It was part of the society. And so it's like, wow, what an interesting, to me, it's like interesting that all these varieties of reasons that we have all of our phobias. And I thought that one would be an interesting change for somebody that, it's not a negative thing that they would be really encouraged to want to get rid of, like starvation, whereas it was a positive experience, yet for this lifetime, it's not a healthy thing for us to do.
And Tom, since you don't actually have access to the chat room, I wanted to mention Asna Lover is talking about her dad and not wanting him to suffer, and everyone is supporting her and wanting him to graduate and go home. And, that is the highest thing that you can do, and hopefully you've even told him, that it's okay, that he can, go home. When my dad was in the hospital and really in a bad place, my parents were kind of fundamentalist, but my mom said, well, Dad, are you ready to go home and be with Jesus? And he said, yes. And my mom said, okay, that's fine. You go there and we'll see you soon. We love you. And I was just so proud of my mom, and even when Sylvia called and said, sorry to hear about your dad, I said, well, we weren't sorry. It wasn't, it was a blessing, but thank you very much. I appreciate the call. And he was such a, my dad was a cowboy. And Sylvia says, yep, your dad's over there riding his horse, cowboy hat and all. And of course that just makes me feel wonderful, knowing that he's doing great now, and we'll all get together soon. And also congratulations to Kenzie's mom. I'm so happy that you got to see Kenzie, and I think it's kind of funny that she was on the couch TV when you don't watch TV, but that's a blessing. I'm glad you got to see her and had that wonderful experience. So congratulations, Kenzie's mom. A lot of wonderful people in the chat room. So thanks, everyone, for sharing, and God bless you. Is it almost meditation time?
Almost. We got one more piece here, and then it'll be a short piece before the meditation. Sylvia wanted to introduce the meditation as well as what she recommends for meditation. So we got another five-minute piece, and then we'll go to the meditation. Here we go.
Great.
Chapter 11, Getting in Touch with Your True Essence. These are also the words of Francine. There is a universal truth that's a guiding light for you, and that's to simplify your life as much as possible by getting in touch with that essential you or your spirit self. You can have material gain, you can be successful, you can have a wonderful relationship or contentment of soul. However, wanting things too much sends your soul into a wobble that can throw you off track. If you go to the level of your spirit self, you'll realize that the things that you tend to want in life are transitory. Of course you need water, food, shelter, and love. That's part of the plan of God. Where you fall into a pit of despair, where the morphic resonance or cell memory seems to come back and bite you, is when you become so desirous of things that are so far beyond those basic needs. So learn to rein yourself in by affirming, I have enough of all that I require, along with a great deal of contentment. I'm not saying that you should give up your car, home, jewelry, or clothes. I'm saying you are too tied into them. The problem is that most entities don't address the basic self before they get to their desires, and that's where the wobble comes in. This is why Jesus made a definite directive to love yourself. When you love yourself, you ultimately rule out a lot of the garbage you've carried with you from life after life that's so encumbering. You stop giving credence to negative views of life and powerless beliefs. The basic self can keep the spirit self from getting through. You must be very hard on the basic self because it comes in with all these morphic resonances that cause you to focus on worries such as, what if I get fired? What if I lose all that I've gained? What if I have to let everybody down? Most of you have had these fears at one time or another, along with thoughts such as, I'm alone, I'm distraught, I'm abandoned, I'm rejected, and God is unfair. These concerns bring you to a point where no light can come in. To get your basic self up to reach your spirit self and get rid of some of those silly, reactionary feelings about your life. Know that you're going to live. You're going to have some joy. You're going to have some sorrow. And then you're going to return to the other side. That's the greatest truth you'll know. Here's something you can say that's so easy and simple, you won't believe it can work until you start doing it and seeing the rapid results. Just say, I'm not of my body. I'm above it. I don't reside in my body at all. Of course, this doesn't mean that you're supposed to rule out pain or any valid signal that you should take care of your body. I wouldn't expect you to drive a car with faulty brakes or a transmission that didn't operate right. But I would expect you to take care of the person in the car more than you take care of the vehicle, because the person is going to survive, whereas a car will get old, rust, break down, and the soul never does. The soul is eternal, and it's loved and protected by God. You can help your soul rise by stating in your own words that you're going to pull your energy and your mind from your lower basic self into the high-mindedness of the spirit self. The world is ruled by negativity. It's like you're listening to a recording of a constant barrage of negativity. How you react to it determines your spiritual growth and learning process. The best way to fight it is to tell that recording, enough. I will not be programmed and I will not let it affect me. Even though darkness is ruling the globe, humanity is being led into the light. There are so many things that we guides who are protecting you see you battle. We see the negativity that surrounds you and all the things that you cannot control in your life. You should at least be in charge of your body. Get up in the morning and do a cleansing by saying, whatever is in my cell memory, let it be dissipated by the white light of the Holy Spirit that surrounds me. I have learned from it. Also, be sure to visualize or ask for your glorified body to descend upon you. Your glorified body is what you assume when you die and go through the tunnel to the other side. It's your spirit self, the perfect you. The more you aspire to being like the glorified body, the more it begins to descend upon you, and what you really are unfolds to the outside. Your perfect self has complete immunity to everything. So the more you get into that glorified body, the more your immunity goes up and self-healing takes place. What causes illness is that you're too much in your physical shell. Be above the body. I can't stress that to you enough. The more you remove yourself from the body, the better you'll feel, and your immunity will skyrocket.
It was reminding me of when she started out at the beginning, you know, getting to the bare bones of things. When church services, Sylvia had opened the church many years ago, the early church services, there used to be a meditation class, and I would attend those. And on one meditation, we were to meet our spirit guides. And what the visual that came to me was this dark, cowled, hooded figure that came towards me, and all of a sudden all I see is a skull facing outside of this hood. And it was didn't scare me. It was just, okay, there's an interesting symbol. And the minister at the time was able to ask Sylvia, because we weren't so much into symbology at the time, and the minister had asked Sylvia, what does that represent? And Sylvia was coming back to, that was your spirit guide. And the symbology of it was about get to the bare bones of things. And really, when I think about it, it wasn't a black cowl hood. It was a brown monk's hood over this thing. But the image of the skull was unique, and yet, you know, getting to the bare bones of things. Be simple.
Simple is good. And Kinsey's mom was asking questions in the chat room about the I am and the ego. And I say, well, I don't have an ego. I have a high self-esteem. But I think,
very good.
You know, it's the real ego is having a high self-esteem and knowing that we are a part of God and that we are powerful in what we can create and how positive and spiritual we can be.
I remember, too, along those lines, Francine had brought about or, you know, shared the, or came up with the acronym of ego is easing God out. So, you know,
yes.
I think of it as when it's the thoughts are I me, you know, that's more associated with the negative side of ego. Whereas if you're, you know, thinking of others and doing for the good of everybody, then that's more spiritual in nature. So let's see. I'm going to hit the pre-med because she had some little pieces of information, and then we'll go right into the meditation after that. So I won't break for it. We'll just do pre-med, and then we'll jump into the meditation. Here we go.
Excellent.
Chapter 12, Meditation for Healing. This chapter contains a meditation which may be done in any position that you're comfortable with, sitting or lying down. It's best to close your eyes and make your body as relaxed as possible by loosening up all of your muscles from head to toe before you start. The following meditation is from Francine. I'd like to address the archetypal symbol of the star, whether it has 4, 5, or 6 points. The star has been used throughout history. It's such a powerful symbol that it figures prominently in the Judaic and Islamic faiths. It's also what is supposed to shine when any Messiah is born. The star has always had great prominence in all of literature as well as the ancient lore of mythology. So now I'd like to give you a great tool to use called the star treatment. This isn't a technique to be used for protection, but rather for healing and the relief of pain. If you have an undiagnosed malady, or it's been diagnosed but you can't seem to get any relief, then you're a prime candidate for the star treatment. Now, this technique involves the use of the mind and its ability to visualize. Visualization takes place in your mind. It's the easiest thing for anyone to do. For example, if you think of your mother, the memory of how she looks forms inside your mind and becomes a picture. That's visualization. To begin this technique, sit or lie down on a bed or couch. You may want to do this at night when it's the most quiet. and you typically see stars shine, but you can practice it at any time.
And of course, just a minor note, if you are driving, please, you know, don't close your eyes. Keep driving as you should normally be. And here comes the meditation.
Relax. Close your eyes. And start to visualize a star. The star can have any number of points to it. But do see it as silver blue in color. Watch the star become radiant and pulsate with light. Make it as radiant and bright as possible. Now that you have this bright, pulsating silver blue star in your mind's eye, go to any area of your body that needs healing or pain relief and slap it on the affected area. Use this silver blue star on your stomach, back, head, or whatever area of your body that needs healing. Do make sure that it is in proportion to the area you're dealing with. Do not just put a great big star over your whole body, but make it localized. It's very much like a cortisone shot or a laser. You want to put it in the place that is giving you the most agony. Ask your spirit guide to help direct you. If you're having problem with numbness in your hand, for instance, they might tell you to put the star on the back of your neck instead of on the hand itself, or ask them to lead you in your mind's eye and take your first impression. Get more reciprocation from your guides and let them come in. Once you have the star in the area that needs healing or pain relief, keep visualizing it there. Silver blue. Pulsating with a bright light of power. I guarantee you will never feel anything that pulsates like this. When it begins to do so, please do not be frightened. The star, which has been an ancient symbol, is like a doorway to the light. And that light is helping heal. And relieve your pain. Causing you to feel better than you ever have before. When you are ready, bring yourself up, all the way up. To full consciousness, feeling absolutely marvelous. On the count of three, come all the way up. One, two, three.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I started thinking in the middle of that, boy, that sure feels good. And then I was like, wait a minute, we're still on the air here. I got to get back to consciousness here. Oh, my gosh. That felt good.
Yeah, one of the most...
Go ahead, finish.
That's one of the most powerful healing meditations, I think. I think Francine gave that to us, and one year for Christmas, then I wanted to go out and buy little silver stars and give it to people.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I thought that would be cool.
We got another last few minutes here of finish up on this, and then we'll do our sign-off.
Okay.
Here we go.
The STAR treatment can also be used for mental acuity as well as calming anxiety. In your meditation, just place the STAR right between your eyes. Or if you're having a problem with your knee, you can place the STAR on it, making sure that it wraps around and encompasses the entire knee. For the heart area, make the STAR large enough that it contains the entire region, since it helps you to get rid of all the problems in the arteries surrounding the heart as well. The STAR treatment is probably the most powerful visualization you can use. You could actually use a number of STARs, but do make sure that you name them. In other words, state, this is for my elbow. This is for my shoulder. This is for my chin or my jaw, and so on. You can put multiple STARs on multiple parts of the body at the same time. Or you can make a STAR and put it on an area, and then make another STAR and put it on a different area. You could leave it on for 10 or 15 minutes. If you can't, then just do it for 5. You'll find the longer you leave it on, the more powerful it gets. As you begin to master this technique, you might place the STAR on your cheek and for some reason feel it pulling to your throat. If that happens, let it go where it wants. You may ask, why would the STAR be moving? It's because your guide is pushing it where it really needs to go. Placing a STAR right in the center of your forehead will really make your mind calm and peaceful. You can see this STAR right between your eyebrows, silver, blue in color, pulsating in the middle of your forehead to relax your mind. The STAR is such a powerful archetypal symbol, and it has been throughout all time. When you use this meditation, you can heat up, but you will not be harmed. Neither will the brightness of the STAR or the tingling and pulsation that you feel hurt you. Cognizant, the mind is a muscle that can be exercised. Once you discipline it and focus it on your truth, then the spirit gets well, the soul gets well, the mind gets well, and everything begins to shine. Optimal wellness is available for anyone who wishes it. Whether you're trying to cure yourself of a physical illness or disease, or you're just attempting to be a better person and live a better life, it's effort that you put into healing yourself that will ultimately determine whether that healing is going to take place. Healing can sometimes be a long and slow process, so don't get discouraged and start to slack off. You'll notice improvement if you keep at it, and you may even be completely healed. Even when it comes to terminal illness, the extension of your life is entirely in your hands. If doctors have said that you're going to die, activate your will and use the methods in this program to obtain that healing you so desire. And as long as your will to live remains intact, you will not die. You have the power of God within you to heal yourself from any illness or disease. You just have to activate it. Keeping yourself in good health and in a positive frame of mind is key to living a happier life. You'll find that such an attitude allows you to do more for others too. I know that it can be hard to find the time, energy, and will to make yourself a better person. But when you get down on yourself, remember that both Father and Mother God are there for you in a constantly loving and protective embrace. This life is only a temporary state of existence, and all things shall pass. God love you. I do. Sylvia.
Wow. A great ending and a lot of information. This has been part four of the series. So we are working on the next subject for next time. And, for next week, we're going to have a different topic for all of us. And again, if you didn't catch something, go back and listen to the archives and see what you've missed out or, maybe weren't paying attention to at the time. At this time, I wanted to thank, again, Bob Ingold for being our chat control or chat monitor person. Do check out our Facebook page. Michael, what is the name on the Facebook page again?
It's facebook.com/Society of Novus Spiritus.
Very good. Okay, thank you. We do have Sunday services in Renton, Washington, and San Jose, California every week, every Sunday at 11 a.m. Taylor, Michigan, and Las Vegas, Nevada, they do have services once a month. So do check out their schedule and location. You can find that information at novus.org. And then again, if you want to know more about our study group program, you want to learn more about our philosophy, more in-depth information, check out novus.org. There's a great intro to the study group program, and you get a wonderful packet that explains the program and how to get started. Any other words, Michael?
Yes, people are sending love and prayers to Sylvia. She is still recuperating. It's going to be, it's going to take a little while. She basically, kind of hit a wall. So it's going to take a while. So yes, prayers for her still. Hopefully Novus Spiritus will continue here in San Jose. We're looking at possibly moving out of this office. And maybe getting a little office if Novus Spiritus, gets the support it needs. Otherwise, we'll have to see how things work out. But she's a tough messenger from God, and I'm sure she will come back and be with us again. So we'll just have to see how it goes, and prayers for her. So thank you everyone for your prayers.
We will be back next week. We're going to keep the show going.
Definitely. We will continue the New Spirit Radio Show by Novus Spiritus. And thank you again for everyone tuning in and everyone that tunes in to the archives. God bless you. And like I said, if you want to get any products, call the office. And say you mentioned a special, 10% off, from the radio show. And we'll that also, helps support Novus Spiritus. And we'll get that out to you. All you wonderful people in the chat room, thank you for all the wonderful messages and love. God bless you. We love you. And talk to you next week.